Hey, Vinny.
Yeah, Cardiff?
Do you want to go subreddit surfing? I wanna go subreddit surfing. Grab your phone, let's go subreddit surfing. Cause I wanna go subreddit surfing with you. We talk to folks from different subreddits because sometimes we just don't get it. We explore all kinds of subreddits. Subscribe now or you will regret it. Do you wanna go subreddit surfing? I wanna go subreddit surfing. Grab your phone, let's go subreddit surfing. Cause I wanna go subreddit surfing with you. Vinny and Cardiff go subreddit surfing. Mondays at 8, we are subreddit surfing. 10 is too late for subreddit surfing. So be here now for subreddit surfing today.
Did you see what the shit weigher did today? Emergency episode.
Okay, that's enough of that. Cardiff got a new toy. Cardiff wanted to play with his new toy. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Subreddit Surfing. Hello, and yes, of course, Luke Chan Mang. Oops. Hi, sluts.
I'm no slut. I'm a whore. I get paid for it.
Thank you. Thank you. Welcome to Subreddit Surfing. A Vinny-free Subreddit Surfing. Some think the Vinny-free episodes are the best episodes. Some people think the Vinny-free episodes are the only episodes they'll watch of Subreddit Surfing. But whatever it is, whether you love Vinny-free episodes or whether you really love Vinny-free episodes, have we got an episode for you tonight? Tonight we are talking about astral projection. Jimmy, Vinny tried astral projection today. Now, astral projection, people, it's just layman terms. It's an out-of-body experience. Vinny tried astral projecting today, and he got stuck. He attempted to go to a different universe, and he was just, even his consciousness was too big. You think that's something that could have happened to our pal Vinny? Jimmy.
Absolutely. I mean, he has been losing weight, though, so maybe his consciousness got a little smaller.
No, it's always the weight's always last to drop off your consciousness. Oh. You know, it's with Vinny, it's the first place it goes. I think Vinny always says 1 minute on the lips, a millennium on the consciousness. I think that's his... the phrase he turns, but it's always the last place you lose it. You know, he's got even if he melts away to a svelte 340 pounds, his consciousness will always be the big, giant, rotund Vinny we all love. But he's not, he is under the weather tonight. I joke, Vinny is not stuck in a black hole somewhere. I promise you, as much as I would love that, that would be so great for the show.
It would,
that would be so great for the show, Vinny. Do it for the show. But no, we have a guest tonight. I'm excited.
Yes.
A guest we've met before, a returning guest who did want to return and talk about astral projection. Now, astral projection, the subreddit, I'm going to read the intro. Usually Vinny does this part. So let me see if I can do it. Let me see if I can fill in for Vinny successfully. Astral projection, welcome to the world's largest astral projection community. We recommend keeping an open mind. Astral projection, or OBEs, out-of-body experiences, is the direct experience of transferring awareness to non-physical realities in order to explore beyond the physical. Our focus on the spiritual practice of astral projection studies and discussions on non-local states of consciousness, and the understanding out-of-body phenomena. This is a science and an art. This space is not for debates, jokes, fiction, or creative writing. So that's it in a nutshell. Astral projection is something I've heard the term a million times. Listen, if you ever listen to Coast AM, it's a topic that's brought up fairly regularly. I don't know if they still do, but at least they did back in the heyday of astral projection, when everyone was doing it before before it got too commercial, you know, like the first album, your band's first album, you know, back when. But yeah, it's always something that's interested me. I guess if it's real, it maybe answers some of the what happens when we die questions.
Right.
I'm scared. I don't want to die, Jimmy.
It's okay. It's a natural part of life.
It is. It is. They say without death, life is meaningless.
Yes.
Yes. I've heard somebody say that. I don't know who. I think it was Vinny's mom. I think she said that. It was your mom, actually. Just Jimmy's mom. No, but it's. Like I said, it's an interesting phenomenon. It's an interesting concept. I guess unless you do it yourself, you're believing everyone else. You're just taking people's word for it. They're coming back with these stories, like the out-of-body experience stuff, right? But yeah, I know Dr. Steve. I should have called Dr. Steve today. I should have had him on because he always talked about, I don't know if it was a study or if it was just something that they started doing in surgery, in operating rooms, where people would make claims about, you know, leaving their body during a surgery. Like their heart stopped for a minute and they rose above their body and they can see stuff. And Dr. Steve used to tell the story where they would actually put things, they would write words on like tops of cabinets in the operating rooms. So if somebody was actually floating above their body looking down, they could come back and say, did you read anything? Did you see something on the top of the cabinets? Like that nobody would know unless they were actually up there. So, as far as I heard from Dr. Steve, no one ever said what was on top of the cabinet. So,
it's a bunch of hooey then?
It might be a bunch of, it could be drugs. It could be the anesthesia. It could be some type of mushroom or peyote. It could be, what do you call it? What were we talking about before? What were you selling me? What were you selling me earlier?
I wasn't selling you anything. No, DMT, which is the root of peyote. You smoke it out of a crack pipe, I believe. You know, one of the sphere on the bottom, little hole.
Yeah. We all have one. Who doesn't have one in their junk drawer? It's like, where's the toothpicks? Oh, it's right beside the crack pipe.
Don't break it.
Yeah, don't break it. They do seem very fragile. They do.
I don't know. I never seen one.
Yeah, of course. But I pulled a couple videos. There's one I want to pull. It's from Mind Valley.
Oh yes.
It's called An Astral Projection Getting Started. This thing's got 500,000 views, so I hope they don't mind me playing this, but
I tried to get them on before, but they ignored me.
As they should. As you ignore your mother, they ignored you.
Son of a bitch.
So let's check. Again, I thought this would be a good, just a quick introduction.
There's this interesting phenomenon of consciousness that...
Volume. Seems louder for me.
A little bit.
Making its round around pop culture. You may have seen it in the trailer for Spider-Man, Far From Home, or in the Netflix series, Behind Her Eyes, and even recently in Vice Magazine, in one of their most popular articles of the year. So what is this phenomenon? It is a concept called astral projection. So astral projection is the idea
that I had astral projection after Taco Bell last week. Sorry, I won't make that joke again.
That our soul or our consciousness can move outside our body and witness the world from a non-physical perspective. It's been studied relentlessly, and scientists and doctors who observe it have no idea what causes it, but there's been so much evidence for it that, as you may have read about in Vice magazine, the CIA funded and studied research into it. I know this because I've sat down with members of the US military to hear about their experiences in astral projection. I did this at the famous Monroe Institute in the Blue Mountains of Virginia, the prominent institute for studying astral projection. When I first read about this, I thought it was way too out there to be believable, right? But then I experimented with it. And what happened was strange, I was lying there on my floor. I did the exercises I was trained to do, and I felt a tingling in my toes. And then this tingling would go all the way up to the top of my body. And then I was asked to think about the location I wanted to project to. And I felt myself go whoosh out of my body, through my wall, and into my garden. Now, the
So I guess that's the gist of it so far. You could kind of pull yourself out of your body, your consciousness out of your body. You can go anywhere you want. This guy, for some reason, decided to go somewhere he could have easily gone. He just went downstairs and walked out to his garden. But I guess you got to start slow, right?
Yeah.
Got to walk before Baby you steps. Run. Okay.
Yeah.
Baby steps. Yeah. It's like you can't just shove both fists in Jimmy's ass the first time you meet him. I'm going to start Please. With a finger.
Please. Knock. Knock first.
Location I picked, I wish was the Eiffel Tower or the Grand Canyon, but no, I picked my garden.
He acknowledges.
I just love my garden. I thought it would be cool to visit it. As soon as I got there, I was shocked at how real it was. I wasn't physically in my garden, but I was there. I could see everything. And then I freaked out. And I started thinking about my body. And they say, don't do that, because as soon as you think about your body, you go whoosh back into your body. And so this experience really got me thinking about consciousness in a whole different way. And I had to go deeper in it. And the number one teacher I found is this woman called Jade Shaw. Jade Shaw is blowing up in the world of astrology.
Did you book her, Jimmy?
No. Jade Shaw? No.
Yes. You're fired.
Unfortunately not.
She is one of the most prominent teachers of this art form. Her new
Looking
book
for new producers,
is coming out
people.
Soon.
How do you not get Jade Shaw? This guy said he's the preeminent astral projector.
I didn't watch this video. You didn't send it to me.
Excuses.
Am I supposed Excuses. To rebind here?
Yes.
I'm delighted to say we collaborated with Jade to create one of the world's foremost programs in astral projection that you can try out 15 days completely.
Oh, they're selling something. Okay.
Of course.
And you can even attend a one-hour session of it completely free. Just put in your email, check it out, watch the entire one-hour session, and see if this is something that you want.
Yeah, put in your email, and we will send you a link to a video, and then we will charge your credit card.
Yes.
Okay, I think that's enough of this guy for astral projection.
I had no idea the CIA was interested in this, but I'm not surprised hearing that.
I saw that in a couple posts. I saw this people referencing this CIA study, right? Like, I guess using it as some type of spying technique, warfare technique at some point. But again, from what I'm reading, in a lot of posts, you're going to, like, you're not going to a physical location. You're going to I'm going to play these guys because I got two science guys. Talking about consciousness and astral projection. And the second one, actually both of them, kind of make me feel like, yeah, we're just living in a matrix, right? So we're not in a physical world. The way they're talking, we're not in a physical world. We're in a simulation kind of thing. And astral projection is just it's the blue pill, I guess, or the red pill, which is the one takes you out of it. The red pill.
Yeah.
Of course.
How right.
Stupid of me.
We're all right. You should know this.
Yes. But yeah, we are just, it's just kind of your way out. But luckily, with these red pills, you can get back into your comfy, cozy matrix, eat your steak, and enjoy yourself. Because God knows, gotta have steak.
Absolutely.
You know, there's an OOBE, which is an out-of-body experience. But that is really an unfortunate misnomer, because you're not getting out of your body. See, the whole concept of out of your body is body-centered, right? I have this body. My consciousness is in my body. Your consciousness is in your body. You don't even have a body. This is a virtual body. You're just consciousness. But you think, I'm a body. My consciousness is in my body, and I got to get my consciousness out of my body. Okay. Where is your consciousness? Oh, it lives in my brain. You know, it's there's a little house, it has a little house in there, right? little kitchen, you know, nice little living room, big TV. And a consciousness lives in there and it has to get out of my body. Well, why is it that people end up in what Bob Monroe called locale one, which is you get out of body and it's kind of this environment, right? You're kind of in the near earth environment. You can see things, you can remote view, you can do that kind of stuff because you're in this an environment that is parallel to this physical reality. Well, why do people first get out of body? But they're lying there in their bed, you know, and they're trying to, you know, raise their out of body arm. They're trying to roll out. They're trying to do all this stuff to get out of their body. You see how wrong that is? You're not in your body. Don't make it body centered. Doesn't have anything to do with your body. You don't have to get out of your body. You're already out of your body. Your consciousness. You see, what you need to do is get into your consciousness. So people, you know, there's a.
So just, I guess you hear the distinction he's making. You're not getting out of your body. You're getting into your consciousness. Like it's a bit of a mind fuck if you listen to it enough. But then we've got
you'll never really truly understand it unless you do it yourself, right?
Yeah, which I'm going to do tonight. I'll let everyone know.
Yeah, actually, please
Actually, I'm going to do it right on the show. Okay, if we get 10,000 live viewers, I'm going to astral project live on the show. So that was Tom Campbell. I don't know. He might be a doctor. He just looked like a nerd. And here's a neuroscientist, a neurosurgeon. Apologies. A neurosurgeon, Larry King. His name is Dr. Eben Alexander. And he's got a very similar, but this is the guy that really made me think like, oh yeah, where this is the, we're in the matrix here. Hold on.
It turns out there is a scientific revolution going on now.
Nice bow tie.
Brain discussion, the relationship between the two.
Yeah, another big nerd. But he sounds like he cuts into people's brains, okay? Let's give him a little bit of credit.
That is extraordinary. And I think it's going to lead to a complete shift in our worldview that is unprecedented. And this living in a mindful universe is really about that scientific revolution.
Are you discounting whether the brain controls consciousness?
No, I think what we would say is the brain is a reducing valve or filter that allows primordial consciousness in. That is, the brain is not the creator of it. You cannot explain all of the details of human experience, especially all the evidence for non-local consciousness, the evidence for things like reincarnation, past life memories in children, indicative of reincarnation, things like that, if you think the brain is the producer of consciousness.
So what is the producer?
Consciousness is what exists and generates the entire universe. It's the fundamental ground state.
So this is my consciousness now, right?
It's all consciousness. It's all generated within consciousness. I mean, the thing to remember is we discuss in this in the book what we call the supreme illusion, and that is that the brain and mind are very good at convincing us that all this stuff around us is out there. But what you're actually experiencing is a model deep within mind that is supposed to represent something that is out there. But I think that's where it's important to point out the mystery.
So did he just say the Matrix?
Yeah.
Like, okay, that's
yeah,
exactly what I heard.
Yeah, 100%.
Of quantum physics, because the experiments in quantum physics keep showing us in no uncertain terms that consciousness is fundamental, that it the conscious observer and our free will has everything to do with determining outcomes. It's not determined by mechanistic chemical reactions and the laws of physics and chemistry applied to the brain.
Doesn't it almost destroy everything you learned?
Absolutely not. In fact,
no.
It opens the door to a far broader understanding, because what we're saying is the brain is simply a reducing valve that allows certain conscious states to exist. And this is where, from the quantum physical standpoint, it's really getting at what's known as the observer. That is the deep mystery, is the awareness of existence. And what I would submit is that we're conscious in spite of our brain. And so, in fact, the big surprise and kind of the practical lesson for human beings is that when your physical brain and body die, your conscious awareness actually expands tremendously.
So again, the brain, your brain isn't your consciousness. Your brain is your conduit.
It's like the vessel conduit for your consciousness.
Yeah. Like you're the pathway to your connection. It's like your umbilical cord to the universe.
Yeah.
Yes.
That makes sense.
See? Bow tie motherfucker. Say that. Say that. Then maybe people would understand. And again, I have no idea who that guy is or if he's still an accredited neurosurgeon, but still we tend to give people with degrees a little bit of more respect when they say things, when they have information.
Believe all science. Tists.
So you, yes, of course. Except the bad ones.
Right.
So I'm assuming, Jimmy, you've never astral projected.
No, I have not. I've attempted to meditate. That's kind of my extent of, I guess, this, but I don't even know if this is considered meditation.
I guess like the state of getting into this. And again, we're going to speak to our guest very shortly and hear their experiences. But I did have one more video I wanted to play. And this is just somebody that went and posted to this subreddit after their first astral projection. So we'll just hear, this is someone fresh off their first astral projection. And here's what they're screaming about on Reddit.
I had my first AP experience. I left my body and came back 4 times. I got to ride a roller coaster in the Wild West, and I saw so...
It sounds more like an acid trip. So far. A roller coaster in the Wild West.
And I saw so many things in the stage of changing from my physical form to my astral form. I could hear disembodied voices. I could see and hear my grandmother and my daughter playing while I was asleep. And my body was doing so many weird things. Like I felt my arms had fallen to my side and I felt like I was waking up to scratch and things like that, but it wasn't really happening. So I am so excited to have my first experience. Be sure to leave comments and let me know what you think and give me some of your own. Thank you.
Just want to leave that kid up there for 2 more minutes.
Do you believe her?
I believe she believes it. Hmm. If that you know makes any sense. And again, I don't know. I want to. I want to believe all this is real. I want to believe I could close my eyes and maybe I'll try. Maybe I will try this week and astral. I'll follow. I've watched a lot of videos that give you step by step guides.
Right. I hear you gotta have a certain protection ritual or something you got to do as well. I don't know. Maybe our guest can tell us more about that.
Wanna wear rubbers?
Not that
kind of protection. All right. But yeah, let's jump to our guest. She's been on the show before. Forbidden Snacky is her name. Let's hear Forbidden Snack. Are you there?
Hello,
how are you? Welcome to the show.
I'm good. I'm a little tired, but it's one of those days.
Were you busy astral projecting everywhere?
Not today, but that does happen sometimes.
Well, now, sorry, I will start. I will ask you questions in some type of order, but does it just happen sometimes?
I found that when I get exposed to certain energies from things, it'll just like dislodge my astral body, like accidentally. So like I've learned and trained to a point where I can like disconnect automatically and reconnect automatically. But one time I was watching this video about a GANS machine, which is like a machine that creates like a specific type of oscillating energy. And when I turned on the video and I played it and the machine started up, like my astral body started floating out of my physical body. And I was like, oh my gosh, the energy from this machine through a video has dislodged me. And every time I've watched it since then, it'll just like temporarily dislodge me. So it happens very rarely accidentally, but most of the time it's on purpose.
Is it is it kind of like you get, you ever played with like brand new fresh Lego?
Yes.
And then you play with Lego that's like 20 years old and it just doesn't stick the same?
Yes.
Is that kind of like the analogy? You've ripped it apart too many times that it just kind of,
I would say that's absolutely the case.
Okay.
Right, like when I'm sitting in a car or like some kind of moving vehicle, if I just like mentally relax a little bit, sometimes my astral body will just be sitting there in the road behind me. And I'm like, oh, damn, there it is. So it happens sometimes.
So tell me the first time you astral projected. So where are we, what are we saying? Astral projecting left your body. How do you phrase it?
Well, a lot of people who describe astral projecting on the subreddit, they'll say that, you know, like they go into a meditative state, they close their eyes, they sit, they lay down. In my case, the way I experience astral projection most of the time is kind of like a form of bilocation where I can close my eyes and I can sit, I can meditate, but I could also just be eating a sandwich while astral projecting. So I don't need to turn off all of my senses in my body or stop processing information to be experiencing like astral projection at the same time. So like the first time that I experienced astral projection in a way that I had some control over, because I, as a kid and as a teenager, sometimes I would end up astral projecting from my dreams where I would be in a dream state and I would be experiencing a dream. And then I would kind of think of something like a place or a person and I would see them in real time. And I was like, this is a lot of detail for a dream. Like it was noticeably more realistic than my dreams are. Like one time I saw the coastline between like France and Spain, I think.
Is that what they would call lucid dreaming?
Yes.
Saw that reference. Yes. Okay. So lucid dreaming is, I guess, something that just happens while you're sleeping, you project, or okay.
So like lucid dreaming refers to like realizing you're in a dream. A lot of people end up usually waking up when they realize, oh my gosh, everything I'm experiencing is a dream. But before I learned astral project, I'd actually learned how to lucid dream. And so I had learned and made the habit that I could recognize I was in a dream by just checking certain details that my brain was terrible at being consistent on. And then, you know, when I would accidentally astral project, I'd be like, wait a second, this should be a dream, but this isn't behaving like a dream. Because in your dream, what you see and what you experience bends to what you think it is. So like if you see a tennis ball in your dream and you think to yourself, well, no, maybe that's like a burger. It'll start to look like a burger because what your brain is showing you has to adhere to what you understand it is. So if you're then like, no, no, it's not a tennis ball or a burger, it's remote control, you'll start to see it become a remote control. But in astral projection, that's not usually what happens. So I was seeing like discrepancies there, but I was doing it accidentally and I didn't know how I was causing it. Until the first time that I had some control over it, which was very ironically, and no one else on the astral projection subreddit I've seen talk about their first times had anything like this, so buckle up for this. So I had seen a video on Reddit that said that if you're trying to contact aliens, you think of this word that the aliens identify with three times in your mind, like you're broadcasting it, and then you can communicate with them. Like they'll respond to this like psychic signal. And I was like, oh, okay, this sounds cool. So I tried it.
Is the word Beetlejuice?
It's the word was Ashtar Command, which is ironic because I found out later that it's apparently a cult, but I'm like, but there's real aliens out there. Because the first time I tried it, it worked. And I heard someone hailing me and I was horrified. And I was like, nope, no, not right now. I changed my mind. So then the signal went away and I stopped hearing whatever response there was. But the second time is where the magic happened because I was like, okay, this is really aliens. Like I need to put on my big boy pants and stop running from this because I wanted contact. That's why I was watching videos about it. So I hailed them again and I get this response and there's like static, like it's coming through like it's a radio, but I'm hearing it in my head, which is so strange to me. And so I'm like trying to communicate with them, but there's a lot of static. So I'm like, you're like aliens. And they're like, yeah, like we're in space right now. And I'm like, please get me off this planet. I hate it here. And they're like, whoa, 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 what's going on? And I'm like, please, I can't stay here anymore. I hate it here. This is like, I was like making a comparison to the UN. I was like, there must be so many different things that are in violation here. Like, please, please take me away. Like, I don't want to be on this planet anymore. I don't care if I'm in a zoo. And they're like, we can't take you off your planet. And I'm like, why not? And they're like, because it's your planet. You belong there. I'm like, no, I don't. So I was like kind of arguing with them. But there was a lot of static and I couldn't hear everything they were saying. Like they were trying to communicate certain terms to me and it would come as static. I couldn't hear their names. So one of them, because there were actually I heard like two or three voices going back and forth. One of them was like, well, we can try something to make your connection easier because we know that you're not hearing us very well, even though we're hearing you very well. And they're like, would you allow us to do this thing that would make hearing us easier? And I was like, okay. And so what happened is that I suddenly get the impression that there's some kind of energetic body in front of me. And this energetic body kind of leans over me because I'm sitting in a chair, my eyes are open, and it puts its hands on my shoulders and it starts pulling. But I don't feel the pulling on my shoulders. I feel the pulling inside somewhere. So like I'm feeling, and this process maybe took like 5 or 10 minutes. Like this was a gradual pulling. And as I start to get peeled away from my body, my awareness splits into two. So now instead of seeing, you know, one field of vision, I have two fields of vision somehow in my mind's eye. And the other field of vision was my astral body. So my astral body, I'm able to see things a lot better. And I see that this being, this is one of the people I was talking to. And it's actually sitting halfway between a portal. And so it, you know, it's holding my astral body by the shoulders. And he's like, okay, now follow me. And now I hear him a lot better. And I get pulled through the portal and I find myself with three of these beings in the ship looking area. And I'm like sitting there, like kind of floating, kind of shocked. And they're like, can you hear us better now? And it's like, they're standing right next to me. So I'm like, yes, I can hear you better now. They're like, good, great. So, you know, what are you struggling with on Earth right now? Because you cannot leave Earth right now. That is not something we can do. And that's how it first happened. I realized I could float. So I immediately started floating around. Like they expected me to like stand on the ground, and I immediately started floating near the ceiling, and I was like, this is nice. And they're like, that's not what we were expecting you to do in an astral body. So we got to have a conversation. Oh, go ahead.
You didn't necessarily leave your body the first time. You were pulled?
Yes, I was pulled. And actually, for most of the subsequent astral projections I had after that point, it was because I asked the aliens to pull me out again. And then after that happened for a while, I learned how to do it myself.
Okay, so mm-hmm. how did let's get to that. That's kind of the more, I guess, mundane mm-hmm. way to astral project, which I guess what I see the most on the site where people are, you know, they are laying down, they're sitting down, they're going, they're mm-hmm. following this process. They're coming to the subreddit to learn how to astral project.
Yeah.
So the first time you did that, how did that? Did you learn from the subreddit? You just kind of went in and followed the steps.
Oh, or I didn't find the subreddit until way later.
Oh, really? Okay.
What happened is that I would hail the first ETs I met, but I also started learning how to communicate with others because they told me that the first beings I met, I was like, how am I going to contact you again? I mean, I know I have this word that hails you, but like, you know, what if it doesn't work? And they told me that when it comes to psychic communication, when you're thinking of a person, the idea of a person that you've developed in your mind is enough to connect with them as long as they're psychic too, because they will sense that someone is thinking of them. So they told me, like, if you really need to contact us specifically instead of the group we represent, which is the Ashtar Command. It's funny because I use the word Ashtar Command, but when I got there and I started speaking to them, they were like, we're the Ashtar Fleet. Like, we are a group of ships full of people. I was like, oh, okay. So they were like, so if you don't want to contact the fleet, if you want to contact us as individuals, like, think of us. Think of who we are and who we have said and, you know, how you know us, and we will feel that. And so I was like, okay, so I was like, so wait, if I thought of like other aliens and they were actually real, like they would respond to, and they're like, yeah, because most aliens are as psychic as we are. And so I did that and I did start meeting other aliens. But so what would happen is I would hail aliens and some of them would respond, some of them wouldn't. And I would try to communicate with them and they would like pull me out of my body if I was very polite and they were actually inclined, because not all of them wanted to do that. They were like, no, I'm not going to make this easier for you. But after a while of doing that, I would start talking to them and kind of get a feel of where they were. And I would kind of visualize appearing there and then it would happen. And so that's when I started to get like a good handle on it. I realized that if I could follow the feeling enough and just allow my mind's eye to fill with the information of where they were, then I could manifest a body over there.
So you could, that could be somewhere you could actually choose to travel to.
Yes.
If you knew where it was. Okay. What about like, I've read a lot of people, they talk about their experience and just being in the astral plane, almost like it's another mm-hmm. world, meeting people there, like running into people there. Like, just, is that something you've experienced where
like a
chat room for astral?
It really is. It's kind of hilarious because it's like VR chat. It's a weird parallel. I will say one thing I've noticed is that, like, people say the astral plane, you know, like it's one place. Mm-hmm. But like when you go into the astral plane, you are sitting on a specific vibration, like, you know, whatever vibration your mind is sitting at when you go there. But every other thing that's in the astral plane is also sitting on a vibration. So I've noticed that, like, if you can learn how to adjust your vibration, like, what you perceive first are things that are close to your own vibration. So you might be, like, let's say in a chat room of people that are on your vibration, but in that same place, there are like 12 different chat rooms. They're just not on your vibration. So there's
even frequency, like,
yeah,
kind of a way to put it too. Like, it's you're tuning into a certain frequency. Okay.
Exactly. So I would say there's like many frequencies to the astral realm, and that depending on what you tune into or out of, you'll perceive certain kinds of beings or certain other kinds of beings. So like there's an area in the astral plane that's basically just ghosts. And if you attune to it, you'll see the ghosts that are everywhere. But if you like change your frequency from the ghost sitting frequency, then you won't see ghosts. You'll see other creatures that are on a different frequency. So I actually did meet other people in the astral plane before. I remember one night, this is kind of a sad story, but I was living with some roommates and it was a studio. So we were all kind of in one room and I was super stressed out that night, but I didn't want to freak my roommates out because they also had a stressful day. So I was like, damn, I really just wish I could cry. I had a really stressful day at work. And I was like, okay, I thought about it. I was like, I'll astral project to the roof of the building and I'll just sit there and I'll cry and they won't see me crying, but I'll still be letting it out somewhere. So this will be emotionally gratifying for me. So I did that. I astral projected to the roof of the building and I was just crying up there in my astral body. So I was crying and I was just like letting it out. And in my physical body, I wasn't crying at all. I just maybe had a sad look on my face. And so as I'm sitting there and I'm crying, I see this person float by. They're not like Superman flying, like they're floating by, like they're half asleep. And they kind of look at me and they're like, oh my gosh, why are you crying? And I was like, what? And they kind of like float down to me and they're like, oh my gosh, what's wrong? Are you okay? And I was like, oh, I'm fine. I'm crying out here because it would be weird if I cried in my body right now. And I was like kind of explaining it to them. And they're like, you should be allowed to cry in your body. And they were like, you shouldn't feel like you have to hide your tears from your roommates. That's not cool. And they kind of gave me this pep talk. But while I was talking to them, I got the impression that this was a person, a living person, who was asleep. So this dude was astral projecting in his sleep without realizing it. Saw me crying on a building and was like, hey, I need to cheer that person up. Like, as I was talking to them, I realized that they didn't fully know what state they were in. They were just going with it. And I've met humans that are fully awake. Some of them are particularly annoying. But yeah, there's a lot of different things you can encounter. Like, I've met Bigfoot in astral travel, which was something I never expected. Bigfoot? Yep.
Can you get him on my show?
The Bigfoot I met was surprisingly competitive and a little aggressive. What had happened was that I was talking to someone online. I was like, yeah, so I can astral project. And they're like, do you think you could find Bigfoot then? Because apparently you can find anything if you can astral project. And I was like, sure, why not? So I focus in on the concept of Bigfoot and I immediately connect to this being. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is Bigfoot. And the Bigfoot kind of communicates to me and it's like, what do you want? And I was like, I'm just really surprised that you're real. There's not anything in particular I want. I'm just kind of happy to see you. And I started getting images from Bigfoot's mind, one of these Bigfoots, that they had this whole civilization that was kind of set in a forest somewhere, like advanced, like almost at our level of technology or farther, but that somehow we lived on the border of their world. So if they like kind of traveled too far from where they were, they ended up where we were. And as I was experiencing this in their mind, I was like, how does that make sense? Like, we've never found Bigfoot civilization. How can you be in the woods somewhere? And the Bigfoot kind of laughed at me and it was like, you're so silly. Like, you only travel in three planes. Like, obviously we're aware there's more.
Uh-oh.
But you can't see the edges of those things. So you think that's all there is. And I was like, wait, so you're like right next to us and we don't know? And the Bigfoot was like, yeah, but we stay away from you and you don't stay away from us. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, so that's why you don't really like us, do you? And it was like, yeah, because you're ruining everything. Like, you don't respect your own force at all. And I was like, oh, okay. So it was like kind of confrontational. But I got this sense that it was very, very intelligent, which was very surprising.
Did you say it is a lot?
What do you mean?
Like, just the phrase, it is.
Ruin
our forest, it is.
Oh, yeah, like the...
How did he talk? I guess is the question. Like, how do you communicate?
So this was telepathic. We were communicating with thoughts, but the way that it would refer to the environment, it would say our land, for our trees, our forest. So they had this concept of wherever it was that they were from on some other physical plane, was claimed as theirs, like the trees, the water, the ground, like everything, the sky even. But that they saw where we lived and what was adjacent to us as our land. So they kind of would refer to their place or our place with this kind of thing like, oh, that's your land and this is our land. So it was funny because they had this really like tribal understanding of like land, but they're like a super advanced civilization. So it was very strange.
Now, so is that with all the beings you've encountered while projecting, is it always that type of communication where it's you just kind of have that feeling? It's like you said, telepathic, or do you actually talk? Like, do you actually speak to somebody there? Or is it always just you can? It's more of a feeling than.
Well, I would say it's always been telepathic. There's been times where I've met beings where I've communicated just on like an emotional basis, like we didn't really exchange concepts or words. But as for like beings trying to communicate with me, like verbally, in my astral body, I don't think I'm actually like attuned to hear things in the way I am in my physical body, because I have seen ETs while I was astral projecting that weren't psychic enough to sense the astral plane. So I would see them and they would kind of sense that something was watching them, but they didn't know what it was. And I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of weird. And I would like, you know, try to like mentally connect to them. And they would kind of like shrug me off. Like they didn't know how quite to do that. So I've met ETs that are like not quite sensitive enough to like then telepathically converse with me. But I have met a lot of beings who are mostly able to do that. And I've been able to rudimentarily like speak to animals and plants and insects. Like insects don't understand concepts or words, but they do communicate in this way that they understand reality. So they'll like show me like images of leaves, images of what they consider to be food, images of other insects. But that's as far as how complex they communicate. And I don't think they understand that they're telepathically doing it. I think they're just like, oh, there's something in my head. I'm getting information. This is weird.
So when you see these when you're astral projecting and you see these other entities and whatnot, you actually see them in their physical form, or is it kind of like an orby type of a deal?
It's kind of both. In the sense that like if I'm like really looking at something while I'm astral projecting, I can see their physical form and kind of like the form of their soul at the same time. So there's been times where I've met a being or beings and they kind of broadcast this human-looking persona. And I'll ask, oh, is that you? And they're like, no, but I'm broadcasting this because my true form is confusing to you. And I remember one time a being did this to me, and I was like, oh, can I please see your true form? It would be so, like, are you sure you're a human being? You have a human-centric mind. I don't know if you can handle something that isn't human-shaped. And I'm like, please, 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 please. So they showed it to me, and they were actually this, like, sentient cloud of plasma. Rainbow colored plasma, and they were an intelligent extraterrestrial. And I asked them, I was like, do you have a physical body? And they're like, by what you understand physical to be, I don't have a physical form, but what you see, you know, this kind of cloud like shape, this is my physical form. It's just if you tried to touch me, you would pass through me. And I was like, oh wow. And I was like, so why were you showing me like a human thing? And the being was like, I was showing you a human face so that you could experience my emotions in a way that is natural to you. Because it was like, you read emotions on a face and that's how you're used to it. And I was like, oh, okay. And the being was like, I was worried that if I just communicated emotions to you in a very direct telepathic way, you would be confused and afraid. And I was like, that's fair. So there's been beings that do that they kind of broadcast a palatable shape. And I've asked them before why they do that. And they're like, this is what's easier for most human beings. But I've also met like humanoid or human looking ETs. So not every ET has to do that. I met ETs that try to hide how they look. There was one I met who was a reptilian who was trying to hide that. And I was like, sneaky bastard, you.
So what projections have you done where it wasn't, you weren't going to meet with aliens or other creatures? Where have you ever gone, just traveled to another part of Earth?
I used to love going into the deep sea. Like I would just like astral project down there and just sit down there because it's so quiet and calm down there. And it is super cold, but when you're in an astral body, you can sense temperature extremes without any discomfort about it. So I've also been to the surface of the sun, and that is super hot, and it would kill you. But while I was there, even though I knew it was like several times hotter than I could ever tolerate in my body, in my astral body, it wasn't uncomfortable. I've also been, let's see, I did go to a black hole once. Oh, that was pretty cool. Surprisingly, I haven't been to the other planets, but I've gone to the moon a bunch. I also like sitting on the clouds. Watching the clouds move and sitting with the clouds is so relaxing. The only issue that I had, and the only reason I don't do it nowadays, is because every single, well, okay, not every, but almost every single time I go and I sit up in the clouds and I'm just enjoying my projection, there's aliens nearby. Like, I'll be sitting on a cloud and I see this, like, energy blob floating by, this big energy blob, like the size of a bus, and it's basically an alien ship.
His name Vinny?
No. But it's weird because I've actually seen, like, a bunch of ships in orbit right up where the clouds are. And when I look up with my eyes, like with my body, I don't see them. And I'm like, oh my God, they're invisible. Like, they're really close, but they're invisible. And there's like a bunch of bases on the moon too. Like, I've been
on the moon.
Like
human bases, like we've put there, or other beings.
I've sensed like one or two bases that mostly had humans in them, but I've also sensed like probably four or five that were just populated with ETs.
Now,
does
for astral projecting, do any type of chemicals make it easier to leave your body? Any type of psychedelics, things like that? Is that anything that you've done to help you project?
Surprisingly, I haven't done any of that. But I have found that if I'm like astral projecting nonstop for a few days, I start craving avocados and fish. What was the last thing? And lots of protein. So there is something that definitely gets used up in your brain when you're projecting that maybe is more intensive than other mental activities. But so far, the only thing I've really used to boost my own actual projection has been like meditation tracks. Because astral projecting, especially when you're going somewhere that you really couldn't go in your body, it takes a little bit of focus because you're kind of like maintaining a signal across a great distance. So like when I would go to the moon, it would take more focus than it would take to like go under the sea. That's not to say that I couldn't do both easily, but staying on the moon would take a little more effort over time. So that is something that I had to work on, because I would astral project and then my focus would kind of wander, and then I would end up in my body again. And I'd be like, damn it, I wasn't done talking to that being, but my attention span is broken. So that was something that I had to learn to get better at, just to focus on it, to be able to remain focused on it.
When you come back, how do you feel? Do you feel like you've just run a marathon? Do you feel refreshed? Like you just slept?
It's like very, very mild exercise. So it's kind of like I've been for a very short walk. However, depending on where I come from, I might feel refreshed or like kind of gross. So there's been times where I've spoken to like ETs or spirits that really annoyed me and I really didn't like. And then by the time I get back to my body, I'm like, damn, I feel like I need to take a shower. But there's been times where I've been around like ETs or spirits or whatever that are like full of like unconditional love for the human race and just like so much respect and like, I don't know, compassion. And it can almost be overwhelming, but then by the time I come back, I'm like, oh my gosh, like I feel like a new person. Someone out there loves me, someone cosmic. So it's kind of like, there's a real energy exchange that happens when you communicate with things in the astral realm or when you go places that are especially receptive to you. Like, I actually found a place, I don't know where it is in space, but it's like a sentient location. And I've nicknamed it Bromamu, because I saw that Doctor Strange movie where there's like, oh, there's this other universe and it's evil. Well, Bromamu is the opposite of that, because it's the universe where everyone goes to chill and it makes itself as chill as possible. Love that place. Love that place.
I'm gonna pause you for a second. I'm going to catch up on some super chats. We have some very generous people watching us today that I want to at least acknowledge them, and then we'll get back to this. Free to Game, thanks for the $2. Vinny is on the loose. No pizza place is safe. That's true. Vinny is a pizza fiend. Koof, thank you for the $2. Thank you. Thank you, Koof. Thank you for thanking us, because every day is a blessing. Shane M, 1980, thanks for the $10. Vinny married an Auburn fan. That's enough reason for me not to like him. FYI, I married an Auburn alum. This further proves my point. Thank you, Shane M. 1980. And Shane M. 1980 tag that with, I fucked up that chat, but still funny to me. So I appreciate your honesty. Now, one person that should consider astral projecting so that they could see their son every once in a while is Jimmy's neglected mother. Thank you for the $2. Where's your handsome friend, Vinny, Jimmy? Jimmy, call your mom. Hi, and mom. Let her know where Vinny is today.
I will. We'll be back next week. Don't worry.
I hope so. Square, thanks for $4.99. Even Opie would hang up on her. Who's Opie? Hulkamania, the great Hulkamania running wild under the Cardiff Electric and subreddit surfing. Thank you for the 5 gifted memberships. Hulkamania has come out of nowhere and has become the membership gifting machine, as they call it. Haywood would like to know, do you own a Subaru?
No.
Okay, I think Subarus are good for astral projecting for some reason. Hulkamania comes back again with another 5 Cardiff Electric memberships. Thank you, Hulkamania. John Kalaudi, thank you for being a member for 1 month. I think she also astral projected to a gate community in Canoga Park, a gated community in Canoga Park. Could you, if a group of us asked you to go to a specific address in Canoga Park and tell us what it looks like inside, could you? And could you do it right now?
I mean, I will say that even though I do astral project and I do like see things and experience things, my interpretations aren't always accurate. I've experienced moments where like I can get impressions, but when I try to like get more details than that, they start coming out wrong. So I could try that and I could see what I see, but it might be totally wrong.
It's okay. As long as you can embellish the cockroaches and stains on the floor, that's all we really need. Free to game. Thanks for the $5. Did she see Nazi moon bases? I have to know. Have you ever seen a Nazi moon base on the
moon? I did see human bases there. But like the kind of vibe I got from the human beings in that base, because the reason I say I saw humans in the space is because when I would kind of like peek into these bases, I would see that they were aliens and humans. But some of the bases had mostly humans in them. I didn't like the vibe I got from those human beings, though. There was like a lot of fear and like hardened, like closed off emotions, and like some greed too. So it was kind of a mixed bag, like different people were feeling different things, but the overall vibe I got was that they felt all very controlled and that like there was a certain amount of danger present at all times, which I picked up from people who are like military adjacent before. So that is what my guess is, that it was some kind of military thing or something similar to a military thing going on. But I just didn't like the vibe of those people because they felt so afraid and closed off. And I've met many beings in the astral, other humans even. And when someone is like afraid and closed off like that, it's generally an indication that like they are either extremely selfish or they fear so much for their own safety and well-being that they would gladly throw someone else under the bus, even if they are a good person.
The old saying, you heard it all the time through the 40s. You know, those Nazis just give off a bad vibe. Well, that could
true.
Be.
True.
Could be. Barrister 1401, thanks for the 5. Can she astral project my giant peen into her hippie clam? How dare you, Barrister 1401? But if you are available, Forbidden Snacky, I think Barrister 1401 wants to ask you out on a date. Thank you again for another 5, Barrister 1401. Why does Jimmy always look like he's about to cry? Jimmy, why?
That's not true. All right. Well, it's because they beat me if I don't do a good job. There. Now everybody knows.
We beat you if you do a good job, too, but that hasn't happened yet. James Gardner, thanks for the $4.99. I want a trip with a potato, Vinny, Jimmy, and Jimmy's mom. We should do a trip episode. Maybe we should all just eat a bunch of mushrooms.
Can I document it?
Yes. Can I say one thing about the astral realm, though, kind of as a warning?
Yes.
So if you scroll through the astral projection subreddit, you'll probably see as you go through all the posts that come out every day, there's like at least a handful that are like, help, I had sex in the astral realm and I don't know what I'm doing. It's because the astral realm, you know, it kind of functions like a VR chat where you can do whatever you want and go wherever you want and see whoever you want. But the astral realm is kind of sentient in the sense that it responds to what you want and what you think and what you feel. So if you go into there and you're like, damn, I'm horny. Like, I really just, I want some action. I'm really needing that. the astral realm might put you right next to beings who want to have sex with humans, or it might tell beings that you're suddenly in the astral plane because you're connecting to what they want. So yeah, like, you've got to be careful in the astral realm, because there's beings that might just totally want to have sex, and you know, you'll both have fun with it and you'll go your separate ways. But there's also beings who are kind of like parasites, in the sense that they feed off of a specific kind of energy, and for some of them it's sexual energy. So I've read accounts of people who are like, yeah, so this one being keeps coming around to have sex with me, and at first it was great, but now I feel like I'm dying every time we finish. And I'm like, yeah, that being is like low-key eating you in the astral plane.
Would that is that like a succubus or an incubus or something like that?
I think that those concepts, those words, are probably a really old definition for these beings, because there's more nuance to it than that. But if you go back in time and you're like, oh my gosh, some spirit appeared and sucked my dick, you know, they'll be like, oh, it was a succubus or an incubus, you know. But nowadays, you know, we know more nuance to it. Like, I wouldn't say that they all have tails and horns and they're like super hot models, but there's definitely spirits out there that can peer into a person's mind, see what's ideal to them, and then approach them in the astral plane or in their dreamscape and siphon some energy off of them. That is totally a thing.
Is it cheating if you're in the astral plane?
Technically.
Or is it kind of like what happens in the astral plane stays in the astral plane?
No, there's a really strong distinction with that, because if you're only dealing with spirits, it stays in the astral plane. But if you're dealing with psychic creatures who have bodies, it does not stay in the astral plane. Like, I remember I was talking to one alien and I was like, I don't know why humans have sex in the astral plane. Like, that seems like a bad idea. The alien kind of laughed and they was like, yeah, you know, like, I can't imagine that some of these humans would be happy to know they have kids somewhere. And I'm like, what? And the being is like, yeah, didn't you know that like some ET civilizations, they have the ability to take astral energy and convert it back into its like material DNA. And then some of them use that to create offspring. I was like, oh my God, are you serious? The being was like, yeah. And then the being was like, oh my God, that's right. You're human. You don't know about any of this. So everyone be careful out there.
I don't think I was joking about those astral projection condoms, Jimmy. You should always, always protect yourself. I don't know if we were on the show when we were talking about that, but.
You were. Yeah,
we were.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We were. Okay, good.
I will say, for anyone attempting going into the astral plane, one or two layers of what I would define as wards is a really good thing. Like, when I first started astral projecting, I was meeting positive and negative beings all the time. And I didn't know why until one of the positive beings that I met was like, hey, are you tired of, like, those stupid beings bugging you sometimes? I was like, yeah, why do they keep doing that? The being was like, well, because, you know, and they made the metaphor of, like, a chat room. They were like, okay, so right now when you enter the chat room, in your chat room settings, you put open all. And I was like, what does that mean? And they're like, so basically, you're not putting any borders on what can interact with you in the chat room. I was like, okay. And so the being is like, so if you like mentally think that you're putting borders, like say, I only allow positive beings or I only allow like considerate beings, then that's going to stop negative beings from contacting you. And I was like, but wait, this is the astral plane. I could think of anything in anyone. How would that stop other beings from doing the same for me? And the ET told me, this ET told me, they were like, so the astral plane is kind of sentient. It responds to what people want. It responds to what people think. So, you know, if you kind of tell the plane itself, I don't want to encounter these kinds of beings, the plane itself will shield you from these beings. And they might look for you and they might find you through other means. But if you're doing it in the astral plane and you ask the astral plane to kind of like intervene on your behalf, it will do that. And I was like, wait, how does that even work? It doesn't make sense. And the being is like, because the astral plane is consciousness and you're a piece of consciousness. So what you're really doing is asking yourself to ward yourself because you're a tiny piece of yourself. And I was like, So that's kind of how it works. And I technically have a ward or like settings. I mean, in the settings, as far as I have them nowadays, it just basically, I'll, you know, communicate or interact with or contact anything that's like positive, doesn't want destruction, and is overall benevolent and generous or curious in a positive way. And that's kept most of the issues out of my life, at least on the astral side of things.
I'm just going to go back a little bit to hooking up in the astral plane, where this, yes, this post here mm-hmm. is looking for someone that they met on the astral mm-hmm. plane. Met this girl while projecting. She was so cool. I want to find her. Maybe she's on here. She became my friend and we spent hours together. I asked her if we could contact once we woke. I tried to get her Instagram name, but I forgot it once I woke up. However, I do remember the start of it. T, then a Y, I think. She had interesting eyes, green or blue. Now, would those be her actual eyes?
Probably. I will say that your astral body
would it look really like reflects
what you think your body looks like. So what you think your face looks like, your face was probably going to look like that in astral. Now, as a trans person, I've been able to change what my self-perception is. So I can go into the astral plane, like a one-to-one copy of my body, or I can completely change it into something new. And that took a little bit of practice. But most people in the astral realm, or the astral plane, you know, they go in just as they are because they don't see any reason to change their form. So,
got it. So, but mm-hmm. like, could you be anything you wanted to be in the astral plane?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Like, when I go into the astral plane, I usually just shapeshift into a really androgynous, hot looking person with wings. And then that's just my go to.
Oh,
and
Jimmy.
That may sound like a really weird thing. But I like being an androgynous person. And in my actual physical body, I have DNA that makes me look like a really hot girl. But in the astral realm, I can be whatever I want. And I feel that an androgynous body more accurately reflects the soul that I house. And I have the wings as a symbolic representation of the fact that in the astral realm, I'm free. I can go up, down, sideways, backwards, forward, in time, out of time, you know, anywhere I want. So the wings are a metaphorical representation of that. Now, some people look like just normal ass human beings in the astral plane. That's totally fine. But I'm sure other people probably go into the astral plane and take on a form that they identify with more. Like I've seen ETs that can go into the astral plane and assume the form of a human that they used to be in a past life. So there's all kind of nuance there.
Sorry, say that they assume a form that they used to be?
What yes. Yes. So I've met ETs that have lives as human beings, and they will assume the form of their past life in the astral plane.
Okay, so is reincarnation and astral projecting, is that all?
It's interconnected, yeah. It's
interconnected. Okay, so it's your every your consciousness takes different physical forms, and that's the definition of reincarnation.
Oh yeah, like there's been times where I astral project and I'll be near like a pregnant person, and I kind of look at them and I see this soul sitting inside of them. I see this glimmering, and I see a soul sitting inside their body that's not theirs, and I'm like, oh my god, like that's the soul of their baby that's developing inside of them. So I can see something like that, and I've also seen, you know, like the souls of the deceased. Like when I walk past someone who's like really ill and usually like on death's door, as I look at them, just physically looking at them, I can kind of see that their astral body is disconnecting from their physical body. Like there's this slow disconnect that's happening, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's when they're near death because their soul is starting to basically lose sync with their body.
So if you walk by somebody who's had cancer for 4 years and didn't know it, you'd be able to be like, hey, you know, you're dying.
More or less. There's different things that can happen when a person is dying. Like in the astral realm, if I look at a person physically, they have an aura and a kind of glow to them, and there's all this energy flowing inside and around them. So when someone is dying, that energy is usually a lot dimmer. There's usually a lot less energy than there should be. So they kind of look like a raisin instead of a grape. So sometimes I'll walk past people and they might look healthy, but I see that their energy body is like shriveled. And I'm like, oh my God, like nobody is noticing that they're like dying over there. But I've also seen other times people who are maybe older looking and, you know, maybe don't look so good, but their energy is really strong. And I've learned that that means that even though their body is slowly decaying, what's going on is that their will to live is literally keeping them going. Like all the energy that they're pouring into themselves is sustaining their body further, if that makes sense.
What would you encourage more people to try astral projection, or would that just like, is it kind of like you've got the cool spot, like you like going to, you don't want it to get too busy, right?
No,
or do you want more people there? Is there a reason, people should, and is there a reason people shouldn't astral project?
I would say if you had asked me this 3 years ago, I would have said that I don't think it's a good idea that people try it. But I would say right now, absolutely, it's a good idea. And the reason that it's different now is because when I was first learning how to do it, I had to trial and error the risks that come with it. You know, the really hot beings that want to suck on your root chakra, you know, the asshole aliens that want
to
scare you.
I was expecting to say root chakra. Sorry.
Well, that's what it is, though. Like, you know, it might be a dick, it might be a vagina, but it's all root chakra to them. And then, you know, there's like aliens that like, they really like picking on humans. So they'll see a human in their astral body and they'll be like, let's scare the shit out of him. You know, and I've met those beings. And those beings are cunts. But because I was doing it all on my own, you know, I had to teach myself everything about it. And I had to learn all the ins and outs. Like I went to a couple of military bases just because someone asked me if I could. And I was technically trespassing and I saw strange things. And then I would meet military psychics who were like, who the fuck are you? And then I would get scared and run away. So I've learned all these different things about it. Oh, go ahead.
Is this the, we touched on one post that talked about the CIA studying astral projection. Is that, I guess what they would be using it for, to spy, to get information to.
Yeah, and I would say there's a really funny aspect to it, because I've met like government psychics or like military psychics before. They're ass at it, which is hilarious to me. Like, I'm just this random person who literally taught myself how to do all this with, you know, the help of aliens, because some aliens are nice. And I'm like walking into this random like military base where a psychic is posted specifically to stop someone like me from doing this. And I'm like, oh, hey, what's up? And they're like, you can't be here. I'm going to like harass you in the psychic realm. Now I'm like, are you though? Because you're like totally weak and useless and you can't even fly. I can fly. So it's like, I've met military psychics, and even though they definitely trained, they have a sort of discipline and they understand what they do really well, maybe better than I do.
Tell you a little story that I think summarizes pretty good. NASA wanted to develop a pen that they could use in outer space. They spent billions of dollars trying to develop a pen that they could use in outer space. You know what Russia did?
What?
They used a pencil.
Oh my God, I've heard that before, actually. But that's kind of just how it like feels. Yeah. Because like I met some of these psychics and they're like, oh, I'm going to find you. I'm going to like dox you. And then we're going to like force you to work for the military. I'm like, dumbass, this isn't even my real form. Like, I was being hot. Androgynous dude. And they're like, what? It's not your real form? And I'm like, you don't even know what a real form is? Like, these psychics, they seem really well-versed in, like, thought manipulation or, like, thought harassment or, like, sensing things and, like, warding things. So, like, putting up a barrier around a place, which is something I can do too. But they actually are really bad at using the astral plane. And I asked an ET about it because I was so confused. I was like, why are these people who apparently have, like, years of training, why can't they do the things that I can do? And I'm not even trained for this. And this was an ET's opinion, so you can say that this is like, you know, controversial or unproven. But the ET basically told me that, like, in the same way that the astral plane is like the plane is like a chat room, it is a sentient chat room. If you're an asshole in the chat room is gonna take away privileges that other people have already. So I was asking this being, I was like, why couldn't you find me? Yeah.
You hear that?
And so basically, the being, no, go ahead.
So karma exists in the astral plane.
Yes, it does.
Is that where it's? Is I guess is that? Because yeah, karma has to exist somewhere. Is that where karma exists? Is that where the karma database kind of?
Pretty much.
Really, like it's okay. That's
like there's been times where like a spirit harassed me in the astral plane, and I turn around, I'm like, I'm gonna beat the shit out of you. But I was like, hold on, let me just double check, and like there's this part of myself that I speak to. It's kind of like the soul part of me that doesn't exist in a body. So like a bigger part of my own consciousness. So I'll like connect to this consciousness real quick. And I'll be like, hey, like, is it going to be cool with like the universe if I like beat the shit out of this spirit? And my higher self, this is what I call them. They'll be like, no, this spirit is young. Like, we want you to teach the spirit a lesson, but like, don't use like ridiculous amounts of violence. That's not what we approve of. I'm like, oh, okay. And I always double check, though, because I don't want to lose the privileges that I have in the astral plane, which is that I can go anywhere and find anyone and do many things. And I like doing that because I can heal people in the astral plane. Like, there's been times where someone texts me over, like, Reddit, and they're like, hey, like, I have a negative entity attachment. Can you do something? I'm like, sure. Do you want me to go there? They're like, what do you mean? You don't even know where I am. And I'm like, I don't need to know. Because I've got the plane and the plane knows where you are. All I need is your consent because the plane observes consent. And so like, that's kind of how it works. So I am pretty careful up there because even though I am totally ready to do things the human way, which is with violence, the astral plane doesn't necessarily always need violence.
Have you ever considered checking out Antarctica?
I think I actually went there once. Yeah, I did. I found this really, really weird sentient machine under the ice. as far as I could tell, it was built by an older human civilization, and it's just been sitting there in like sleep mode.
Is that the computer that's running our matrix then?
It's a planetary defense system. So it was designed to shoot down UFOs.
What about sorry?
I was just going to ask, did the Germans put it there during World War II?
No. It predates all of our modern civilizations. I think it's older than the Romans.
What about time? Can you travel time through the astral plane?
I've gone back in time a few times. The only thing I have to say about that, though, is that you think that time is like a line or like a river running down its course. But when I've tried to like time travel, when I have done that, I see that it's actually like rivers upon rivers upon rivers all flowing in different directions. So I could go back in time, but who's to say it's the past that's ours or a past that's parallel to ours? And that's why I don't really go to the future, because there's all these parallel futures that are apparently all right next to each other in the astral realm, even though we are only experiencing one. And I've asked ETs about this because time was actually one of the hardest things to conceptualize in the astral plane. Because if I wanted to, I could experience time slower or faster in the astral plane than my body. And that was a shock for me to realize. I was like, wait, why is it that when I'm in an astral body, I'm not experiencing time the way I do in my actual body? And I had to go into a couple of deep conversations with a couple of different ETs because it's really, really hard to conceptualize. Go ahead.
How so? So like if you were projecting for an hour our time, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What does that translate to you feeling while you're projecting?
To be honest, when I astral project, sometimes I'm like experiencing time faster than my body. So I might be having a conversation that lasts an hour with an ET and it's been like 5 minutes for me.
Okay. So you definitely fucking word I'm looking for, Jimmy. Jeez. I can't speak. Discombobulation. That's the word I'm looking for. Okay. So
I wouldn't call it that, but
so again, I'm going to wrap up shortly, but I do want to thank you for coming on. I want to say, I guess one last thing before I let you get to any plugs you want to do or anything like that, but is there any advice you would give to somebody that does want to try astral projecting, who's listened to this and says, I want to try this. I don't believe it, or I do believe it, or whatever the motivation is, they want to try this. What advice would you give them?
The main advice I would give is that two things. Going into the astral plane and experiencing the astral plane will completely destroy your paradigm and what you think reality is. Because as we define it and as we experience it as human beings in our bodies, it is very simplified. And in the astral plane, nothing is simplified. Your brain can kind of break it down into smaller chunks and you can process that. But the complex reality of what it is still presented in front of you, whether you understand it or not. The second thing I would say is just that, like,
sorry, if you're going into it is the moment. Again, I'll go back to the Matrix. It's the moment. It's like, do you ever wish you took the blue pill?
Yes, basically. Okay. Like everything changes. But the second piece of advice is just like, make sure your intentions are very distinct. Make sure if you're using words that you make very distinct words. If you're using a mantra, make a distinct mantra. Basically what I'm saying is that like, make sure that before you go into the chat room, you put on your chat room settings because you don't want to deal with assholes. And there are assholes in the astral plane.
There's assholes in the astral plane and there's assholes in Canoga Park, but we deal with them all. Forbidden Snacky, I want to thank you for joining us. Anything you'd like to promote, anywhere people can find you on social media, on Reddit, on anywhere?
Well, I'm on Reddit. I got my Patreon on Reddit, on Patreon. If anyone wants to learn more about astral projection, I made a post on my Reddit that is titled, like, how to contact ET civilizations, etc. And on that, I explain how to ward things and how that all works and why it's important.
And what's your Patreon?
I think it's Down to Earth ET. Yes.
There we go. So everybody, you can support Forbidden Snacky at Down to Earth, patreon.com/DownToEarthET. Thank you for joining us. Maybe we'll have you back on again. I know you have a few topics we can discuss, but thank you for joining us.
Have a great night, everyone.
All right, you too.
Thanks for coming on.
Bye.
Galaga. Jimmy, thank you. We got some super chats to get to. I'm sorry, everybody. We've been, we had a guest. We wanted to make sure we gave respect to the guest's time. Dr. Cream Jeans, thank you for the 4.9. Ramon, this be a schizo. Remember the 90s. Promo code Cardiff. Yes, hackamania.com. Promo code Cardiff. If you want to go to Hackamania in Las Vegas. Barrister 14.1, thanks for the 5. Did Hippie Chick just say, damn, I'm horny. I'm here for you, Hippie Chick. Oh, Barrister 14.1. Go to patreon.com/, what was it, Jimmy?
Hold on. Down to Earth ET.
Down to Earth ET. You guys can discuss all the options there. Jimmy's neglected mother, again, being neglected. Thanks for the 5. I've been in a 707, a DC-10, but I've never flown in an astral plane. You're missing out, Jimmy's neglected mother. You're missing out. James Gardner, thanks for the 199. Can she go check on Jimmy, then tell his mom? That's a possibility. That is it.
Was he the one who kept telling me I'm crying, or is that somebody else?
They're all telling you you're crying, Jimmy.
I'm not crying.
Stop crying. Spurk Snake, 1.21 gigawatts, of course. Free to Game, thanks for the 2. Is the human plane stupefied? What? And Delta Zero with a 299 super sticker. Thank you, Delta Zero. You know who I do need to thank, Jimmy? And I forgot to thank them last week. I screwed up last week. I didn't have the listing out of our big kahunas. You know who the big kahunas are, Jimmy?
I'm one.
For now.
For now.
But our big kahunas are those people that went to subredditsurfing.com and they said, I really like Cardiff. I really like Vinny. But what I like the most is Subreddit Surfing, a show that I can watch every week on either a Monday or Wednesday, or sometimes on a Saturday, maybe even a Thursday, possibly a Tuesday. Never on a Saturday, though. Never.
Please, no.
Never.
Never on a Saturday.
But those people go to subredditsurfing.com and they choose to join our Patreon and support us with a couple bucks so we can continue to, well, I guess just so you can grift. But anyway, those people... we want to thank. We also do want to thank Hulkamania again, gifting another 5. That is amazing. Thank you, Hulkamania, running wild. And look at that, Steve H coming in with 99. I spent 100 to. I sent 100 to the astral plane.
Whoa!
Wow. I thought YouTube took a lot. Shit. The astral plane is taking 80%.
Cocksuckers.
Cocksuckers. And yes, we will be doing some more members only content. We've got.
Yeah.
Of course, the live show is up there. The band episodes, the movie watch-alongs are all up there. But we will be doing some more members-only content soon. I promise you, I promise you, I promise you. Summer's upon us, and I know it's only going to get harder. So if we don't force Vinny to get his face out of the refrigerator at least once a week to do this, we never will. But to our big kahunas, I want to thank Bob K., Kiki Loco, JT, Eugene, the Bichon Freeze, Jimmy the Lip, Steve, Fred R, Hunter Duke, Holland Oates, Jervis Tetch, Gut, CMOS 4044, the Kreboff Channel, Jib Mob, Jabone Slocum, Ken A, Aaron L, David W, Hamad A, Fisker, Whisker, Steve, Bjorn Cray, Derek K, Stoneman 623, EP, Pony Power 2, Tyler P, Victor F, Gregory K, Dylan P, Rickamania, Carly, Roachy, Dr. Steve, Mr. Wiggles, Charlie NYC, John K, Brian, Grampies, Champies, Kindy, Joe, Sposto, Ray Guitard, Balsam, Cal Naughton, James Gardner, Droid Sith, Nick Birdman, Laura G, Two-Face Lying Bastard, Nicholas Thomas, and our newest Big Kahuna. Welcome to the great Seamoose. Hello, great Seamoose.
Welcome.
It's a pleasure meeting you. Came to the live show just a month and a half ago. It's great to meet the great Seamoose. It's great to meet everybody that came out to the live show.
Was that the one, Jimmy, in Rochester or in Florida?
The one in Rochester, yeah. The one in Rochester.
I didn't meet him.
Oh, he was there. Jimmy, your mom has a question for you.
What? I don't know. Google it. Love you.
We all love Jimmy's mom. We all love Jimmy's mom. We all love Jimmy, and we all love you, Big Kahunas. Thanks for joining us. I hope you weren't too bored without Vinny. I know it's fun to watch Vinny and laugh. Ha, ha, ha. Laugh with, not at.
That's right.
No, laugh at, not with. Yeah, no, we all laugh at Denny. Yeah. And ladies and gentlemen, with one last thing I've resisted pushing all night. I wish you all a good evening and surf's up, Jimmy. Jimmy, where can people find you? I forgot you do a show.
Yeah. I never push it because you guys, you can find me on YouTube, Jimmy the Lip, Sunday night after 10 Eastern.
See how nice that is? See how nice that is when Vinny's out here interrupting you? Jimmy the Lip on YouTube. To be fair, Jimmy, he's not doing it on purpose. He's not taking you off the screen on purpose. One of his tits usually falls on his mouse and it hits, says it's hovering over the room. It happens. It happens to the best of us. But ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, big kahunas, everybody in the chat, everyone who super chatted, thank you. Everybody who watched, thank you. To our guest, thank you. Jimmy, thank you. And thank Vinny, you. I hope you're feeling better, Vinny.
Me too.
Galaga, everybody.
Galaga.
Sit, Eugene, sit. Good dog. Da 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 da.